Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to our quarterly regional economic press briefing. It's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to the journalists in the region and through you to the people in our district. This morning, as Christian noted, I'm going to talk about national and regional economic conditions with particular attention to employment trends in the second Federal Reserve District, which, as you remember, covers New York, northern New Jersey, Fairfield County, Connecticut, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm not going to comment on the outlook on monetary policy, as Christian noted, but instead I'm going to be focusing my remarks about the economy. Following my remarks, my colleagues will provide greater detail. As always, what I have to say reflects my own views and not necessarily those of the Federal Open Market Committee or the Federal Reserve System. So I'm going to start by commenting on national economic conditions. Since the recession ended in 2009, the economy has grown at a modest pace. When we met in February, the brisker pace of growth in the last quarter of 2010 appeared to be carrying over to the start of this year. Since then, growth has been somewhat softer than we anticipated at that time, with real gross domestic product increasing at only a 1.8% annual rate in the first quarter. A number of factors contributed to the slowdown. Construction activity fell, likely reflecting the continued large supply of unsold new homes. And government expenditures at the federal, state, and local levels declined. In addition, real or inflation-adjusted consumption growth in the first quarter was slower than in the final quarter of 2010. This occurred in part because of the rise in gasoline and food prices that pushed up consumer price inflation last quarter and reduced discretionary income available for spending on other items. The rise in energy prices also contributed to the fall in consumer confidence, which also may have had a negative impact on consumer spending. However, the good news is that we think that the weakness of real GDP growth in the first quarter will probably prove to be temporary. In particular, if you look at production and business survey indicators, including the New York Fed's own Empire State Manufacturing Survey, those indicators generally continue to signal strength. And financial conditions remain strong. The temporary reduction in payroll taxes and other fiscal measures are also providing ongoing support to demand. In addition, demand abroad, particularly in Asia, remains robust, and this is supporting our exports. Most importantly, the labor market has shown further signs of improvement, as we saw in today's employment reports. Although payroll employment growth has been subdued during most of this recovery, the latest figures show that the economy added 244,000 jobs in April, and which now brings the average to 233,000 jobs a month over the past 3 months. While the unemployment rate, which is based on a different survey, the household survey, ticked higher last month to 9%, it's still 0.8 percentage points lower than it was as recently as November. And that's a relatively rapid decline in the unemployment rate by historic standards. Private sector job growth has been strong and more than sufficient to offset weakness in the government sector, particularly in state and local government. A particularly encouraging sign is that we've actually seen a pretty rapid growth in manufacturing jobs over the past year. And another positive sign is there's been broadening strength in terms of services employment. While the exact pace of the jobs market recovery is always hard to predict, and we were expecting the rate of job growth to pick up over the first half. And so I'm hopeful that what we saw today is a sign of an ongoing trend. We would definitely welcome a further strengthening in terms of the U.S. labor market. Even if the economy added 300,000 jobs per month from now on, we would likely still have considerable slack in the labor market at the end of 2012. So despite these clearly encouraging signs, I also want to note that there are still some downside risks to growth that bear watching. As I mentioned earlier, higher oil and commodity prices have cut into household purchasing power, and that creates a very difficult situation for many families that could have an impact of constraining spending more than I anticipate. The renewed decline in home prices is also important, if that could dampen consumer spending and housing activity more than I expect. And finally, we have to be cognizant of the fact that aggressive near-term government spending cuts or tax increases could actually slow economic growth, at least in the short to medium term. That said, I would emphasize that a credible plan for medium-term fiscal consolidation is sorely required and would have many economic benefits. it's important to emphasize that these things that I've just mentioned are risks rather than likely outcomes. Now, with respect to inflation, on a year-over-year basis, the headline measures have increased to levels near to those consistent with our objectives, which most members of the FOMC consider to be 2% or a bit less in terms of the personal consumption expenditures measure. Moreover, the rise in commodity prices over the past year probably will push headline inflation up a bit more in coming months. It's noteworthy, however, though, that even with the sharp rise in oil and food prices, there has been little pass-through to broader measures of prices. In fact, most measures of underlying inflation trends, for example, core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy prices, still remain below levels consistent with our mandate. Going forward, futures markets indicate that investors do not, at least as a group, expect that the rapid ongoing increases in commodity prices will continue from current levels. And if that's right, and if these prices do stabilize or indeed retreat, then that means that headline inflation is likely to come back down again, back to mandate consistent levels. While this process plays out, however, it's critical that we keep our close attention on inflation expectations and make sure that inflation expectations do not become unmoored. It's much harder to keep inflation in check if people begin to raise their expectations of future inflation. Now, the good news is at this point, measures of inflation expectations overall remain stable. Economists at the New York Fed have examined inflation expectations using a unique survey that we sponsor. And as reported in a recent post on our new Liberty Street Economics blog, they find no evidence to suggest that a wage price spiral is getting underway. However, we will continue to monitor inflation expectations very closely to make sure that this stays well anchored. So to sum up, economic conditions have improved in the past year, yet the recovery remains moderate, and we still have considerable ways to go to meet the Fed's dual mandate of full employment and price stability. Now, so what's happening in terms of our region? Well, as attendees at previous press briefings may recall, the New York Fed produces indexes of coincident economic indicators to help monitor performance of our region. And I'm pleased to report that the most recent data no longer suggests that the regional recovery has paused, as was indicated in February. Based on these measures, what we see is the recovery of activity in New York State and New York City continues at a steady and sustained pace. In New Jersey, activity has also begun to increase following a long period, roughly a year, where activity in the state was essentially flat. We monitor Puerto Rico using a different index that is produced by the Government Development Bank in Puerto Rico. The index shows that the decline in activity on the island began in 2005 and continued through late 2010. However, there are some signs that the economy has stabilized in recent months. So now let me turn specifically to employment trends in the region, which is the focus of our briefing today. In particular, I'll focus on our region's experience during the recession and the following recovery. Nationally, the Great Recession, which began in December 2007, was the deepest economic downturn since World War II. At the jobs trough in February 2010, which occurred 7 months after the official end of the recession, the country had lost almost 6.5% of its total jobs, and the unemployment rate had more than doubled. Many people lost their jobs or saw their hours or incomes cut, and the duration of employment for jobless workers reached a historical high point. For many families, this distress was compounded by losses of wealth from declining home prices and stock market losses. Since the jobs trough, the unemployment rate has fallen, and jobs growth has resumed, albeit at a slow pace. Today we will review questions about jobs in our region, such as how severe was the decline here versus nationally, and where are the jobs returning, and what factors affect the employment outlook in our region. As in other parts of the country, employment in our region declined substantially during the recession, but New York and New Jersey and Puerto Rico had very different experiences, so there's quite a variability across the region. Employment in much of New York State, including New York City, declined less severely than the nation as a whole. Both the state and city lost about 3.8% of jobs. And as we discussed at our briefing last October, part of the reason for the more moderate job losses in New York during the recession was the fact that the New York State and city was less exposed to the boom-bust housing cycle. Indeed, as a percentage, the city and state lost fewer jobs during the recession than they actually did during either of the prior two economic downturns. By contrast, the downturn in employment in New Jersey in the current cycle was more severe than New York State. About 250,000 jobs were lost in New Jersey, or roughly 6% of total state employment. That's about the same as in the country as a whole. This decline is comparable to the job losses during the most recent recession in New Jersey, which occurred between 1989 and 1992. Fairfield County in Connecticut, also part of our district, saw declines comparable to the nation, while Puerto Rico experienced much deeper and longer job declines than either the region or the nation. In fact, employment in Puerto Rico began declining nearly 2 years before the onset of the recession on the mainland. Now, labor market recovery has begun across much of the region. Over the past year, the tri-state region has added roughly 100,000 private sector jobs. Within the region, however, the recovery has been somewhat uneven. New York City, upstate New York, and Fairfield County have been gaining jobs for more than a year now, at roughly the same pace as the nation. However, employment in New Jersey has only begun to expand during the past few months. In Puerto Rico, job growth has yet to be firmly established. The recession there, which began in 2005, has seen employment leveling off since last summer, but there has been, as yet, no clear reestablishment of growth. Now, businesses in a variety of services sectors have contributed to the recovery of jobs in the region, including professional and business services, education and health, and leisure and hospitality, as well as finance. The overall expansion of our private sector is being partially offset by ongoing losses in manufacturing and construction, where firms in our region are not matching the modest growth seen in jobs in those categories at the national level. In addition, state and local government jobs in our district have declined sharply. After holding steady for much of the recession, state and local governments in New York and New Jersey, for example, have reduced their job counts by more than 40,000. These losses have effectively offset about half of the private sector jobs that were created over this period. The government job declines were particularly severe in New Jersey and Puerto Rico and have been considerably steeper in our region than in the United States overall. Now, looking ahead, the continued expansion of employment at the national level should have positive effects on many industries in our region. As elsewhere, the state and local government area will likely be a drag for some time. However, some new detailed job listing data point to an expansion of job openings in a number of key occupations in the region. Finally, despite the overall recovery of employment across much of the region, unemployment rates remain very high. Although down from their year-ago levels, March's unemployment rate was 8% for New York State and 9.3% for New Jersey. Both those rates remain unacceptably high. And there's disappointing little evidence of any sustained improvement in Puerto Rico, where the unemployment is 16.1 percentage points. So to sum up, the national economy experienced a soft patch in activity during the first quarter of 2011, while recovery in much of the region continued at a good pace. New York continued to expand, and New Jersey has shown signs of turning the corner in the last 2 months, and Puerto Rico may have bottomed out. During the Great Recession, most of New York sustained less severe job losses than the nation as a whole. By contrast, New Jersey's losses were comparable to the rest of the country's, and Puerto Rico's job losses have been more severe. As recovery takes shape, private services are the most likely source of job growth throughout this region. There are many reasons to believe conditions are in place for stronger growth in the coming months in both the nation and the region. Nevertheless, both nationally and regionally, unemployment remains stubbornly high and is likely to remain so for many months to come. Thank you for your kind attention. I'll now turn to James Moore to provide more detail on the regional economic outlook.